There are a number of books out in this day and age about forgiveness and reconciliation. One of them talks about what was called the Reconciliation Commissions or Truth and Reconciliation Commissions in South Africa, something that Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela worked through. There is a lot of struggle in the lives of many about the issues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Today is a day when we can begin to think about these, and we should, because in Lent, we are particularly aware of the incongruities in our world, how our world around us, our world within us, is so often at odds with the God that is revealed to us and the God that we hope addresses us. And it is sometimes very uncomfortable to come to terms with those things. Paul, in his letter to 2 Corinthians, is struggling with a congregation that did not think very highly of him, and sometimes I wonder if he thought so highly of them. They were a congregation that were fighting and bitter with each other, and it carried over into other parts of their life. They were about the business of reconciliation, but when we read the stories and the letters, it is not easy work. It's not just a matter of letting go and letting God. That's a good thing to think about once in a while. But reconciliation is really not about a momentary, oh, it's okay. It's hard, hard work. As I took apart this whole idea of reconciliation, I noticed that Paul is the only one who uses the word. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul's the only one that has the idea, but Paul is the only one that uses the word. And the first time in the Bible where he uses it is in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And you know what he says about us? He says, while we were enemies of God, before we were enemies to God, while we were enemies to God, God gave his Son to reconcile us to him. There's two parts of that I want to explore. The first one is this whole thing about enemies. Most of us, including myself, do not believe we are enemies of God. I want to suggest to you that we might want to live in that reality just a moment and check it off and see whether that is true or not. Who is an enemy? Is it somebody who seeks to do you bodily harm? That could be. Is it somebody who tries to thwart your will? Is an enemy somebody who tries to damage your reputation? Is it somebody who tries to inflict harm? Is it somebody who you have contention with? Being an enemy is just not about violence. It's about relationship. It's about intention. It's about how we get along. Let's think about how people get along with God. How do people get along with God? Do they do what God asks them to do? Or do they fight with God about that? Do we thwart God's will? In God's eyes, are we who we are supposed to be in God's creation? Think about it. What is it about our life that tells God that we're not his enemy? What is it that we do that is proof to God that we are on God's side? How many parents here like it when your children don't listen to you? And how does it make you feel? When Jesus says, love your neighbor, do you get in a fight with God about who your neighbor is? Or do you go looking for suffering? When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, do you turn the other cheek or do you put your fist up and get ready to hit back? When Jesus says, forgive, not just seven times, but 70 times seven times, do you try to put a limit on it like Peter did? When Jesus says, feed the hungry, do you say, not unless they work for it? What is it? What do you do to tell God that you're not God's enemy, that you're on His side? How is God to know? What is God going to do in order to figure out who His enemy is and who it isn't? And what are you going to do? How are you going to assess your life? It's one thing to think about those who harm us. It's one thing to think about those who do not do what we want them to do, who make our life miserable either through their ignorance or their stubbornness or their willfulness or just by being who they are. It is a great difference, though, to remember that we're doing the same thing to God. And some of the worst offenders are sometimes those who claim the closest relationship with God. Paul is brokenhearted because the people who he knew in Corinth, the people he knew had come to know Jesus and His reconciling love, were doing nothing but beating up on each other and making each other's life miserable. Now, I don't think that that's so much what's going on here in this congregation, but it sure as heck what is going on in our nation, in our world. Whatever source you claim to know God by, there is no justification for what human beings are doing to each other here, now, in this world. We need to understand that God has the right, by our own standards, to take us by the scruff of the neck and cast us into eternal hell forever. That is what we believe should happen to our enemies quite often. Understand that God has that right. And some of you are saying, oh boy, he's getting to the hellfire and brimstone. No, I'm not. But facts are facts. If you believe what the Scripture says to be true, those who are enemies of God are to be tossed into the fire. And we better be careful about who we name as the enemy, because we may find ourselves in exactly the same position. Now, what is the solution to this predicament that we unhappily find ourselves in? Well, you may be thinking to yourself, well, the preacher is a fool, and you probably would be right. You may be saying to yourself, I'm wrong. I'm not an enemy of God. I've never done anything against God. Well, you're free to think that. Go ahead and think it. For those of you who are convinced that you may, in fact, have thwarted God's will upon occasion, Oops. Any of y'all remember the Bill Cosby thing? Bill Cosby's voompa, voompa. You know, he's doing the Noah. He's just sitting there playing Noah. Voompa, voompa, voompa. Ding. Noah. Okay, God, I'm getting to the reconciliation part. I got your message. If you believe that, in fact, maybe, just maybe, you have thwarted God's will, that you are not as connected with God, perhaps, as you would like to believe, here's the good news. God chose not to pick us up by the scruff of the neck and throw us into hell. God chose not to wipe the slate clean and start over. God chose instead, and this is the action God took. And it's not our action, it's God's action. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And in his life, he taught and he witnessed, he healed, he sat around with a bunch of sinners, he ate with them. And he so offended the powers of this world that they saw Jesus as an enemy. They confirmed just how closed we are to God's initiative of love and salvation and redemption. And seeing in Jesus, the Son of God, a troublemaker par excellence, said to themselves, better that one man die than the rest of us be inconvenienced and put out. And up on the cross he went, and dead he was. Just as consistent as the world ever is, if it's from God, it's going to mess things up. Better get rid of it. They took him off the cross, just as lifeless as could be. The end of the story. Deed done. Let's get back to having fun. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that on the third day, Christ rose again. And in Jesus Christ, God made it possible for us to take the time to assess who we really are and who we really want to be. And God chose to say, the standard by which you come to me, the standard by which we are reconciled, will not be whether you have met my requirements, whether you have always been my friend and never been my enemy. No, this is the way it's going to be, folks. What I'm saying to you is that you are not my enemy, no matter how badly you act, that I forgive how you have acted, and I invite you to come and be a new creation. Be something different. And I understand that it's going to be really hard, that you're going to have to work at it, and there are going to be days when you're not going to feel like it, and you're going to feel like you're still an enemy. But trust me, because you believe in my Son, because you have heard the good news, because of what has been done in Him, because I love Him, and frankly, I love you too, you may trust me in this journey of being reconciled and made my friend. You see, if you think you're a friend of God already and yet you ignore God, it's kind of hard to accept this. But if you're pretty sure you've ignored God and you see yourself as having done things that were opposed to God, the good news is that you can come closer. The good news is that wherever you are in your walk, whatever you have done, that kind of honesty that opens oneself up to God and says, you know, it's about how I respond to you, God, and you deserve better. God is open to that. God invites you to come and come over and over every single moment of your day. God welcomes you. Which gets us to the reality that God has called you and me to a ministry of reconciliation. Would that we would spend as much time learning how to do the hard work of reconciliation, and that we would take the example of our Lord and Savior more closely. Would that we would spend as much time on those issues as we would spend on getting our own way or securing our own future or making sure of our own happiness. If you're not an enemy of God, if you have been made a friend of Jesus, you have been reconciled not by your own works, but by God's graciousness. You are a minister of reconciliation. That being so, who have you helped and how have you been a minister of reconciliation as God has reconciled you? This is a question for Lent, and it is a tough one. And I invite you to answer it as you will. I will not answer it for you. And I leave you with that invitation. You're a minister of reconciliation. God has reconciled you. How does your life fit into these realities? Let us pray.